From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, that is, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, April the 1st, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Either yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started for this new month the right way.
The Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, handle yourself using your brain, but handle others with your heart. And you handle obstinate people with a cattle prod.
Whoa, 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 whoa!
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast, shall we?
Twisted history.
Should be good.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happened on this day throughout history.
Be sure.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Yeah.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See? Yeah. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1948, communist forces responded to the introduction of the Deutschmark by attempting to force the Western powers to withdraw from Berlin. That was a major event, too, that eventually led up to the Berlin airlift, which is an interesting chapter in history. And it was on this day in 1954, President Eisenhower authorized the creation of the United States Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. Amazing campus. You should see that thing. And even after all these years, it looks like something out of the future.
This place is freaking awesome!
You are no doubt aware of the big brouhaha that reared its ugly head over the weekend, and that was that President Biden, our faux President Biden, declared March 31st, 2024, which this year fell on Easter, yesterday, as Transgender Day of Visibility. Needless to say, it sparked quite an uproar among conservatives and, of course, a lot of criticism from former President Trump, who demanded that the president apologize to millions of Christians in the United States. And quite frankly, I think he should do that. Frankly, how about that? I'm frankly, twice. I think the president should be subjected to nothing but outright humiliation. You can't impeach him for something like that. But he should be roundly and very publicly humiliated for that. Now, is it his shrinking mental abilities that contributed to this? I doubt it. I think he just went along with the left-wing mob. So, he said in his March 29th proclamation, which was Friday, he says, "Today we send a message to all transgender Americans. You are America, and my entire administration and I have your back." And then he went ahead and boasted of appointing transgender leaders to his administration and ending a ban on transgender people from serving openly in the military, which, of course, is already proven to be problematic. Let me just use that word, okay? That'll cover just about everything. Anyhow, calling transgender people part of the fabric of our nation, who help the country and its economy thrive. The president then bragged about his administration's efforts to make public services more accessible for transgender Americans, including more inclusive passports that include an X as the gender marker. And then he went on to say, there's much more to do. And he urged Congress to pass the Equality Act to codify civil rights protections for all LGBTQI plus Americans, and officially declaring this coming Easter Sunday, again, this was a statement on Friday, as Transgender Day of Visibility. Well, the anger level in this country just went up more than just a notch. Actually, it started on Saturday because the word really started to get out. And then, of course, it went a little further yesterday. Biden's move sparked an outpouring of criticism among conservatives, including from the Trump campaign, which also objected to the White House's instructions for an Easter egg art design competition for kids that banned submissions with religious symbols or overtly religious themes. And you can thank Dr. Jill Biden for that one. And then Ms. Leavitt said, sadly, these are just two more examples of the Biden administration's years-long assault on the Christian faith. We call on Joe Biden's failing campaign and White House to issue an apology to the millions of Catholics and Christians across America who believe tomorrow is for one celebration only, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, this was a statement she made on Saturday. But the White House didn't respond to any media requests for comment, particularly from the Epoch Times. I love the Epoch Times. What a great publication. And much of the criticism of the president's proclamation centered on the fact that March 31st this year fell on Easter Sunday. And it's one of the most important Christian religious holidays. But it's the double whammy. The outright hyper-public declaration of Transgender Visibility Day on Easter Sunday. And then the added instructions for the Easter egg roll over there at the White House, that no overt signs of religious sentiment can be displayed by the kids. I mean, there's only one way to describe this administration. It's evil. That's all it is. It's just outright evil. I mean, everybody knows that Easter is one of the most, if not the most, important Christian religious holiday. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gift of God's only Son to us as our Savior. And you look at the human race this day, these days the human race really does need salvation and lots of it. Kevin Sorbo, you know him, Hercules, actor, producer, he said Easter Sunday is being replaced. Our Catholic president banned religious imagery from the White House and is now calling Easter Sunday Transgender Day of Visibility. Tyrants, all of them. Thank you, Mr. Sorbo. Thank God somebody of notoriety is coming out and calling it for what it is. He says tyrants, all of them. And Mr. Sorbo's posts on X are often critical of the Biden administration's policies and of far-left ideas and ideals, assuming they have any, and proposals more generally. Harmeet Dhillon, you know her. She's an L.A.-based lawyer. Really good lady. And her focus includes First Amendment rights and election law matters. Took to X to share a critical reaction to Biden's decision to shroud yesterday with his administration's transgender agenda. And she says, isn't every day at the Biden White House Transgender Day of Visibility? By the way, she also serves as vice president of the Republican National Lawyers Association. Great lady. And she says, to deliberately insult Christians on this holy weekend is gross and evil. And amen to that. So true. Gross and evil. But you see, that's the way the Democrats are now. They have to pander to everybody. And Michigan State Representative Joshua Shriver, a Republican, also took a dim view of the proclamation. Said, contrary to Joe Biden, tomorrow isn't Transgender Day of Visibility. Again, this was posted on Saturday in Michigan. Contrary to Joe Biden, tomorrow isn't Transgender Day of Visibility in Michigan. We will not celebrate sexual deviancy and self-mutilation. Tomorrow is Easter Sunday. We will be celebrating the resurrection of our King, Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead to give us all an opportunity to repent from our sins and believe in him. Where's the empathy for Christians on our most important day of remembrance? Well, yes, very well put. So amid the backlash to the president's proclamation, some media outlets ran fact checks clarifying that Biden's declaration of Easter Sunday as Transgender Day of Visibility seems to be a coincidence because March 31st happens to fall on Easter Sunday this year. But it doesn't always. Right. Well, okay, good point. But do we need to be fact-checked about that? That's not the issue here. The issue here is that in a very obvious manner, a very public manner, our president chose to prioritize Transgender Visibility Day over Easter. You know that's true. And indeed, Biden issued similar proclamations in 2021, 22, and 23, with March 31st falling on a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, respectively, in those years. I get it. We all get it. It's nothing very difficult to understand there. And even though the Biden administration has, in the past, given a nod of recognition as to that date, March 31st is Transgender Day of Visibility, Friday's proclamation was the first time that the president used the authority vested in him by the U.S. Constitution to Constitution. I just brushed my teeth, okay? To officially declare it as such. And March 31st has, in some circles, been celebrated as International Transgender Day of Visibility. And it's been that way for over a decade. And according to the left-leading media outlet NPR, why are we all forced to contribute to NPR with our tax money? Boy, I wish we could get that stopped. But anyhow, according to NPR, it was founded 15 years ago by Rachel Crandall Crocker, a male who identifies as a female and executive director of Transgender Michigan, a transgender advocacy group. Initially, the idea didn't get much traction, but with the help of Susan Crocker, his wife and Transgender Michigan's operations director, it became a more widespread phenomenon, according to NPR. Still, it's unclear when International Transgender Day of Visibility came to be referred to as simply Transgender Day of Visibility in some circles here in the United States. Transgenderism has become a pretty prominent issue in America's social and political landscape in recent years, most notably during the Biden years in the White House, with those on the left tending to support gender-affirming care laws that, in some cases, block parents from having a say in their children's decisions to get gender change surgeries and other truly risky medical procedures. By contrast, conservatives have backed laws that give parents more authority to prevent their children from undergoing transgender procedures or impose penalties on doctors who perform them without parental consent. And really, here's a fact check for you. Here's a fact I'd like you to just kind of stash in your memory bank. If this country and the culture that built this country is to survive and to thrive, all Democrats must be defeated in November. Oh, man, you gotta love this. David Ing, writing in Breitbart.com, says New York Attorney General Letitia James is facing mounting pressure to prosecute comedian Jon Stewart after it was revealed that he overvalued his Manhattan home, the same so-called offense for which James is prosecuting former President Donald Trump. Now, we told you about Jon Stewart the other day, how he went on TV and was just railing against Donald Trump for supposedly overvaluing his properties. Well, Jon Stewart was doing the very same thing. And Representative Mike Collins of Georgia, Republican, radio host Andrew Wilkow, and Trump attorney Alina Habba are among those calling for Tish, that's the nickname for Letitia, to show that no one is above the law. So, what really happened was Stewart was recently found to have overvalued his Tribeca duplex by more than 800%. And this was when he was selling it back in 2014. Now, the embarrassing revelation comes after Stewart used Monday's episode of Comedy Central's The Daily Show to claim Trump was lying when valuing his own properties. Well, now Stewart has a lot of egg on his face with pressure building on James to ensure the equal application of the law. See, when you run your mouth constantly the way Letitia James does, eventually you are going to embarrass yourself and those around you, those who work for you, those who work with you. Now, Collins recently posted that he's looking forward to Letitia James sending the NYPD to haul Jon Stewart to jail and seize his property. You see, the double standard is finally, in a big public manner, coming to light. And attorney Alina Abba called on Tisch to hold Stewart to the same standard as she's holding Trump or attempting to hold Trump. This is great stuff. But I just love some of the commentary that's hit the cybersphere. And Patrick Bet-David went on a really neat rant on his podcast the other day. He says, is John Stewart going to be investigated for 3 years? Where are you, Tisch? You going to go after your own? No one is above the law. Show me. Why don't they use the same consumer statute like they used against Trump? So it's just like my mama always used to say. Eventually, it all comes out in the wash. But then, of course, you know, and you've seen this time and time and time again over, oh gosh, really started to become very apparent during the Obama years, that this double standard is truly extremely blatant. I mean, it's right there out there in front of God and everybody, and we see it every day. And yet they flaunt it. They're proud of it. They use it on a daily basis against you and me. And you know why this is happening? I'll be very frank with you. This is happening because we allow it to happen. And in this day and age, just merely by allowing it to happen, by default, you're encouraging them. You're encouraging them to continue this kind of behavior. No prosecutions. Where are subpoenas? Where are warrants against the left for exercising this kind of hypocrisy? Because it flies in the face of our very Constitution. This is insanity in its purest form. But I'm trying to figure out who's more insane. The lefties who keep pushing this? Or us for allowing it to continue day after day after day? It seems like it never stops. And they just continue with all the confidence of a sleepwalker to behave in this manner, making a mockery out of our lives, yours and mine, and a mockery out of our ideals. And it's in everything. It's in everything. I mean, how we have managed to remain largely a peaceful nation with this blatant double standard, this hypocrisy being dished out on a daily basis by the other side, is just beyond me. How do we manage to stay a peaceful nation? Now, let me play for you the audio from Patrick Bet-David's podcast. And Alina Haba was on the program. Listen to this.
John Stewart, okay? John Stewart's story comes out. I think it's a New York Post story, page 11, if you guys want to go to it. Okay. So John Stewart found to have overvalued his New York City home, Alina, by 829%.
What?
After labeling Trump's civil case not victimless. John Stewart criticized Trump's civil case over inflated property values, stating this has never been prosecuted in response to experts framing the case as non-harmful. It was revealed that Stewart's Tribeca duplex sold for $17.5 million in 2014, a staggering 829% more than assessed value at $1.882 million. Internet sleuths uncovered Stewart's property history, leading to accusations of hypocrisy. Stewart's penthouse sale price far exceeded its assessed value, raising questions about his own benefit from overvaluation, with political commentator Tim Pool alleging, did John Stewart commit fraud when he sold his penthouse for $17.5 million? If that's the case, Rob, is this the clip or what is this here?
This is a clip of John Stewart talking about the civil fraud case and how it's not a victimless crime.
Go ahead and play this clip, Rob.
Because they are not victimless crimes. First, the banks got paid back at lower interest rates. Although, to be honest, who gives a shit? But second, money isn't infinite. A loan that goes to the liar doesn't go to someone who's giving a more honest evaluation. So the system becomes incentivized for corruption. And this is part of a different Trump fraud case. But avoiding taxes hurts all of us. Donald Trump shenanigans cost the city of New York. And to be honest, and let's be frank here, That is money that the city of New York could have used to build more Walgreens. Now,
see, that's not funny. You can pause right there. Yeah. So
how
different is this case versus what they're accusing Trump of doing?
I don't even know where to start with this.
You almost turned into Anderson Cooper. Right?
I almost. I'm so angry by watching that. I actually hadn't seen that. I heard the story. It's no different, but the reality is that Trump actually didn't. If anything, his properties were undervalued. He put Doral at some a couple. I don't even remember the numbers, but Doral's worth way more than it was on there. I mean, the statements were actually undervalued, and his statements were prepared by an accountant, accounting firm, not a small accounting firm, a major accounting firm, who put a cover sheet saying, do your own due diligence, folks, but this is what we estimate we're worth. Mm. Just like anybody in New York. It's like, okay, let's even say in some made up land, the numbers were high, which they weren't. Let's say that, okay? Then you got a sheet that says right on the front, excuse me, do your own due diligence. On top of that, who's President Trump going to? Deutsche Bank. He's right. You know what, John Stewart, the only thing that was right, you're right. He went to Deutsche Bank. He didn't go to a mom and pop. He went to one of the highest regulated banks to get loans that he actually didn't need. It was solely because of, you know, mortgage. It's what you do. It's how you make money. It's better to have a mortgage sometimes when you don't need it. And they got paid off early. They made money. Okay. And who is the victim? Now, in his case, I want to see what they do with it. Is he going to be investigated for 3 years? Where are you, Tish?
Yeah.
Where are you at?
Yeah.
You're going to go after your own? No one is above the law.
Yeah.
Show me.
Yep.
Exactly. Show me.
And by the way, we could help her if Letitia James is watching.
That clip should be used in her case against him. By
100%.
The way, let me help you, Letitia.
Yeah.
You should play that video. I'm sure you'll be allowed to play videos. I'm not, but you will. You know, let's see it happen.
Yeah.
Let's see. No one is above the law. I can't. When I hear that, the hypocrisy in that statement. Show me. 829% overvalue of his New York City home. And that's a personal profit. Why don't they use the same consumer statute against him like they used against Trump?
So there you go, my friend. Hypocrisy being served hot and fresh daily on a silver platter by the left. Climate panic and leftism in general are destroying this nation. And they're doing it very quickly. Now we have several Democratic lawmakers from manufacturing-intensive Midwestern states who are actually backing new regulations by the Biden administration restricting vehicle emissions, which experts are saying could dramatically reduce the number of gas-powered cars and result in fewer automobile industry jobs. But let's go beyond that. If these regulations are indeed mandated, they won't be voted on, they'll be mandated. What's going to happen to our economy? Because battery-operated heavy trucks will not succeed, not in any way, shape, or form. They just won't work. Can you imagine a huge 18-wheeler pulling a huge load of steel to build a high-rise building and doing it with a battery-operated traction system? It'll never work. It's a failure from the get-go. And yet, these idiots on the left are proceeding with the confidence of a sleepwalker with this program, this mandate. Well, the EPA back on March 20th finalized a new rule. Multi-pollutant emissions standards for model years 2027 and later light-duty and medium-duty vehicles, which would effectively require roughly two-thirds of all light-duty vehicles sold after model year 2032 to be electric vehicles or hybrids. And critics have argued the rule is a de facto electric vehicle mandate and is going to result in fewer jobs in the long run, yet the rule's been supported by Democratic members of Congress from Rust Belt states. Hello, people. This is called economic suicide. So, Chris Ventura, an executive director of the Consumer Energy Alliance, was talking to the people at the Daily Caller News Foundation, and he said for producing an electric vehicle as opposed to a traditional internal combustion engine vehicle, it requires significantly fewer workers to actually produce one electric vehicle. There are fewer parts involved in assembly. Well, everybody knows that, but that's not the point. What is more reliable? true, ICE vehicles, ICE, internal combustion engine vehicles, do catch fire, but not nearly in the numbers that electric vehicles catch fire. And just the other day, we talked about the environmental hazards that electric vehicles present. Electric vehicles are far heavier than ICE-powered vehicles. So this causes electric vehicles, because of their weight, to wear tires out quicker. And the material that gets emitted into the air from these tires breaking down is more hazardous than any of the fumes you get from an ICE vehicle. So, we're kind of getting a little upset here, we on the right, because once again, we're being mandated, we're being ordered what to buy. And frankly, when you look at the Constitution, that is against the law. The government cannot order you to buy something you don't want. So anyhow, O.H. Skinner, the executive director of the Alliance for Consumers, told the DCNF, he says, a shift to electric vehicles along the lines EPA has announced will make lives worse for everyday consumers while costing them more for the privilege of having their lives inconvenienced. All true. And there was a joint statement published by the American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers and American Petroleum Institute. You know them as the API. They said the Biden administration has finalized a regulation that will unequivocally eliminate most new gas cars and traditional hybrids from the U.S. market in less than a decade. This can be stopped. This can be stopped, and it can be stopped by you. But it all depends on how you vote. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and Chris Young.
My parents are getting older. They're doing older, crazy parent things. My dad, he was one of the cheapest guys I know. Anyone here have a cheap parent? Yeah, right. All right. To be fair, my dad was kind of cheap. He was the kind of cheap that when I used to say, hey, Dad, can we stop for ice cream after Little League Baseball, would say, we don't need to stop for ice cream. We have ice cream at home. Yeah, people, we did not have ice cream at home. What we had was we had an old refrigerator that froze the milk on the top shelf. Yeah, if you throw in some Nestle Quick Boy and chip at it with the hammer, you'll have ice cream. Yeah. My dad, he's in his 70s though. In his 70s, he went out and bought a $68,000 Lincoln. Yeah, he paid cash for it. So now I know why we couldn't stop for ice cream all those years. Thank you. It's cool, yeah. No, my dad, like I said, he's in his 70s. And you know what those Lincolns are? They're these great big behemoths of a vehicle. They got this big screen TV in the dashboard. They got a camera on the back. And I said, well, that's great, Dad. Now you can watch all the stuff you're going to back over. He did it, too. I knew it was coming. We're sitting at my parents' house at Christmas dinner. My dad eats like he always does, real fast. He jumps up. He goes running out to the garage. I hear this truck fire up, and the next sound that I heard was crunch, crunch, crunch. Yeah, I went running out to the garage, and I looked. And there underneath the axle of this truck was the brand new Barbie big wheel power wheel thing that he had just bought his granddaughter for Christmas.
Yeah, I said, Dad, did you not just see that big wheel, power wheel thing on that big screen TV inside your dashboard? And he goes, well, yeah, but you know me, I don't believe everything I see on TV.
Make it a marvelous Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.